Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. The title of our message today is The Cure for Death. Based on Romans chapter 5, these verses. Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all men sinned. But much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. I invite you this morning especially to follow the sermon outline provided for you in your handout. I'm going to be drawing your attention to certain points of the outline, so have that in front of you so you can use that as a reference during our message. The great plague of London in the 17th century was known by many as the Black Death. This epidemic spread quickly through the great city, and between May and August of 1664, over 70,000 people died from this plague. It was called the Black Death for two reasons. One, because of the black spots that appeared on the victim's body, but secondly, because of the ignorance people had of where the plague came from. At that day, most people thought it came from the polluted air of London. But today we know it came from rats. And the fleas that rode on these rats carried the disease. But because they thought the plague came from bad air, doctors devised a strange and useless cure for the plague. They would take victims to a bed of roses and have the victims hold hands and walk in a circle around the roses, breathing in the rose fragrance, hoping that the fragrance of the roses would displace the bad air in their lungs. For those who were too sick to go outside, rose petals would be spread upon their bed or, catch this, stuffed into their pockets. And for those very near death, doctors would burn the rose petals, put the rose petal ashes near the nose of the person, hopefully making them sneeze to get rid of the bad air. Of course, as you might suppose, none of these superstitious rituals worked at all. But this rose petal treatment gave rise to the song, catch this, first sung by the man pushing the death cart piled with dead bodies on the way to the cemetery. Pushing that dead death cart, he would sing, "Ring around the roses, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down." Isn't it strange that what we know today is an innocent child's nursery rhyme would have such a beginning in history? And yet the truth is every bit as true for us today as it was for the people then. Yes, my friends, we all fall down. None of us escape the plague of death. Listen to what God says to Adam at the beginning in the creation garden in Genesis 3:19, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And in Romans 5, Paul writes, "Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all men sinned." We all fall down. But our initial response to death is almost always denial. It may happen to everybody else, but it'll never happen to me. "We all fall down" may apply to everybody else around me, but not to me. And yet, death is real, and we all fall down. Our attempts to deny it or ignore it are as useless as joining hands in a circle and singing "Ring Around the Roses." You see, Satan lied to Adam and Eve in the garden when he spoke these words in Genesis 3:4, "You shall surely not die." And this lie, my friends, is spread all around us even today in various forms. Today, look at your sermon outline, Roman numeral part 2. We're going to briefly examine here 6 current philosophies of death. Now, what is quite interesting is that these philosophies of death are as old as the hills and twice as dusty, recorded in the ancient Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon the writer shows us how people think who try to live their lives without faith in God. These 6 philosophies try to avoid death or even deny it and make it seem as harmless as a ring around the roses nursery rhyme. Philosophy number 1 is right in front of you. What does it say? Fatalism. The first verses of Ecclesiastes 3 says this: "There is an appointed time for everything, for every event under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to love, a time to hate. Oh, what profit could there possibly be to the worker from that in which he toils?" Here is classic fatalism, the saddest of all philosophies, called by some the doctrine of despair. It says there is no God. There is no hope. We are just like leaves blowing in the wind. No purpose, no profit. All is vanity and futility in this meaningless circle of life. Next comes, what's the next one on your handout? Skepticism. Ecclesiastes 3:10-11 says, "I have seen the task which God has given to the sons of men, with which to occupy themselves. He has set eternity in their hearts, yet in such a way that man will never be able to find out the work which God has done from them from the beginning to the end." This skepticism or agnosticism says nothing in this life can be known for certain. Maybe we'd like to know more about God, but we can't. It seems as if maybe sometimes God is even teasing us by letting bad things come into our lives. Maybe there's a God, but maybe there isn't. And next comes a big word, the third of our philosophies. It's called Epicureanism. Ecclesiastes 3:12 reads this way: "I know that there's nothing better than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime." And you'll know this phrase, "Moreover, that everyone eats, drinks, and is merry in all his labor." That's the gift of God. Have a good time. Forget about tomorrow. Today is all you have. A rock and roll song from the 90s put it this way: "All I want to do is have some fun. And I've got a feeling I'm not the only one." God cannot be known. Sin and death aren't fun to think about. So just grab for every laugh that you can. Get your laughs while you may. Next comes, what's the next one on your handout? Deism. To add a touch of religion comes the philosophy of deism. Ecclesiastes 3 reads this: "I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it, nothing to take from it. That which is has already been. That which will be has already been. God sees it all, that which passes by." In this philosophy, God is present, but he doesn't care. He doesn't get involved. He's called the unmoved mover. He's like a watchmaker that winds up the watch, sets it on a shelf, and just watches it wind down to nothing. This philosophy says you just do the best you can. God really doesn't care. Do the best you can. Hope it turns all right out in the end, including your own death. We're at number 5 of the 6 of the philosophies. What's number 5? Evolutionism. Ecclesiastes 3:18-19 says this. For the fate of men and the fate of animals is the same. As one dies, so does the other. There's no advantage for man over the beast. All is vanity. Now, Charles Darwin in the 1800s developed a theory based on this philosophy, a theory accepted by many as fact. There's no difference between man and animal. We're just a highly developed animal. There's really no difference. And finally, one day, you will simply die like a dog. This philosophy is as meaningless as holding hands with a plague victim and singing "Ring Around the Roses." And so sinful, prideful man waves his arms in the face of God and says, "I've got it. I've got the solution." It's the 6th of our philosophies. What is it printed before you? Universalism. This philosophy offers the hope, so to speak, that if there is a God, He will take all people to heaven no matter what they've done and no matter what they have believed. Universalism says loudly, as if the louder they shout it, the more people will believe it. It makes no difference what you believe as long as you are sincere. How many times have you heard it? The logic of this philosophy then would say to people of history like Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, and Osama bin Laden, among many, you may have been wrong. You have done terrible things and you had been wrong, but at least you were sincere. You really believed in what you did. Welcome to heaven. Fatalism, skepticism, Epicureanism, deism, evolutionism, universalism. What is God's appraisal of all these isms? We find the answer in Proverbs 14:12, which reads, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death." And so we're back where we started. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. But the Holy Bible has 2 major themes that run through every page. The first theme is, yes, we all have the plague, and yes, we will all fall down. But yes, the glorious news of the cure, we have been given victory over the grave. Listen very carefully now with your attention to these words of Holy Scripture from Romans chapter 5. Ask the Holy Spirit of the living God to speak to your heart as you hear God's truth on the matter. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And God demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if, while we were His enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? For where our sin increased, God's grace abounded all the more, that as sin reigned in death, much more shall God's grace reign to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. These are the sure and powerful words of God that the Holy Spirit now is speaking to your hearts. God tells you clearly and me clearly today, yes, you have the disease. Yes, you have the plague of sin and death. but he has provided a cure for death. The life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory over sin. The victory over the grave. The victory over death. That's why we gather together on Easter Day. My friends, we will have to face death. But we don't face that alone or unprepared. Death is our enemy. But for the Christian, death as a defeated enemy. But that's more. For those who humbly put their faith in Christ, death then becomes not just a defeated enemy, but death becomes for us a doorway we simply walk through to be with our Lord forever, ever in heaven. Did you know that there's some sarcasm in Holy Scripture? Some hard sarcasm and taunting and thumbing one's nose at death? Yes, there is. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 and following, St. Paul, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, taunts and is sarcastic and mocks death. Now, pardon my reference to another rock and roll song, this time from the 80s. There was a song entitled, "Hit Me With Your Best Shot." And Paul in this passage says to death, "Death, if the worst thing you can do to me is take this fleshly body, then go ahead, hit me with your best shot, because I know that my Redeemer lives and he has victory over the grave." Listen to this song from Scripture. "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so now I ask you, what about the person who lives their lives according to one of these six philosophies we've just mentioned? Someone has once said that the test of a philosophy is not in the living in it, but in the dying with it. And so now we will hear some words of the famous spokesman of these godless philosophies and let them speak for themselves. Just three. We don't have time for so many more. Voltaire. In his day, Voltaire was called Europe's greatest cynic and unbeliever. He spent his whole life attacking the Christian faith. Yet his biographer wrote, on Voltaire's deathbed, his last words were this horrible cry: "Oh, the darkness is so great." The great writer, Ernest Hemingway, I read his works. Hemingway, who had rejected the Christian faith in which he was raised, eventually blew his own brains out with a gun. And the note Hemingway left at his death site read these words: "There is no remedy for anything in life. I live in a vacuum that's as lonely as a radio tube when the batteries are dead and there's no current to plug into." And Robert Ingersoll, maybe you've heard his name, a lecturer, lawyer, skeptic, and an enemy of the Christian faith, spoke these words at the grave of his own brother: "Life is only a narrow valley between cold and barren peaks. We cry aloud, and the only answer is the echo of our own wailing, hopeless cry." Ring around the roses, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. And the philosopher without Christ faces nothing, nothing but death and a hopeless eternity. And how can the believer in Christ face death? I wish I had time to tell you story after story this morning. Just one will suffice. I was attending a funeral for a change, not officiating it as a pastor. I was sitting next to a young woman, a young widow in her 30s, whose husband had died suddenly. Her eyes were wet with tears, as so were mine. They were my friends. All during the service, this young widow sat with her eyes closed and her head bowed, listening to the well-chosen words of her loved pastor and others in the service. All during the service, her head was bowed, and she simply nodded in agreement as things were said. Eyes closed and head bowed the whole time. But at the end of the service, there was an organist that day, like Kristen Rowley, a talented organist who could make the keys of the organ sing. And as the organist played the introduction to this Easter hymn, that young widow stood up all by herself. And I, sitting next to her to support her, I stood up next to her side. The congregation stood. And we sang a song together. And let me tell you, we did not sing "Ring Around the Rosies." This is what we sang. This will be the closing hymn for today's service. Here is what we sang. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives my ever-living head. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I will conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives all glory to his name. He lives my Jesus still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Ring around the rosies? No way! He is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Jesus is the cure for death. Amen.